Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I am a member of a choir, and because we are middle-aged, adults' meetings are at night, in a church, in the countryside. We live in a very rural area of England. It's dark out there in September at 8 p.m. Tonight, halfway through our meeting, a stark white face appeared at the chancel window. Approximately 6-7 feet from the ground. About half of us saw it, lit by a blue light, a face staring through the window. However, the weird thing is, to the women who saw it, this face was that of an elderly woman with either a scarf or a wimple wrapped around her head. The men saw a young man with beard and mid-length hair like Jesus. I'm going back tomorrow to see if there is a bench or a step that they could have stood on. Maybe then it was a nosy walker with a bluish torch. But I don't know as I sit here. It seems just like an improbable place and time for a human to be. It was the winter of 2013. I was 19 years old. I was driving out in the country, and my friend Megan and I were taking my friend Tiffany home after the movies. Tiffany lived in the middle of nowhere, up in the hills about 30 miles outside Waverly, Ohio. We dropped Tiffany off at her house at 11 p.m. We knew it was exactly 11 because Tiffany had an 11 o'clock curfew and we got her home just in time. We drove up the hill to Tiffany's house. She got out, and we turned around and drove off back down the hill to the road. This was a small back road. The drive back to the main road took about 15 minutes and involved about 4 different turns. Looking back, Megan and I both remember driving for about a mile and making that first turn. Then suddenly I'm looking out the windshield and I see we are no longer on the same back road. We're back on the main road almost to the highway, 20 miles from where we were just seconds ago. I looked over at Megan in the passenger seat. She looked like she was almost in a trance. I asked her, "Megan, how did we get here? We're almost to the highway." She looked at me, tears in her eyes, and asked what just happened. It was then that I looked down at the clock, and it was 12:30. In the blink of an eye, nearly an hour and a half had passed, and we had somehow traveled 20 miles. We drove the rest of the way home in silence, totally in shock at what had happened. Days later, an image started popping in my mind. We are sitting in the car. It stopped in the middle of the road. We are both frozen, staring at the headlights and the road in front of us. I also have a vague recollection of something in the trees off the side of the road. Megan had similar memories. It's been 10 years and I still refuse to go back to that area. I must confess, as I sit down to share this tale, that I am committing a crime. A crime against secrecy, against the hidden truths that governments and organizations prefer to keep buried. But my love for the truth outweighs the fear of consequences. I cannot keep this story to myself any longer, for it is a tale that defies explanation and challenges the very fabric of reality. It all began in a remote corner of Ireland, where an ancient secret was about to be unveiled. The story I'm about to unfold is true, as hard as it may be to believe. I was a part of a Navy SEAL team, led by Matt, the seasoned leader, who was about to embark on a mission that would forever change our understanding of the world. We were called in by local scientists who had stumbled upon a hidden cave system rumored to be inhabited by strange, dangerous humanoid creatures. The atmosphere was thick with anticipation as we geared up for the mission. Matt briefed us on the potential dangers, but our training and confidence were unshakable. We joined forces with the local Irish scientists, a group of experts in various fields, eager to uncover the mysteries hidden within the dark recesses of the caves. As we descended into the underground labyrinth, the air became dense, and an eerie feeling settled over us. The cave walls seemed to whisper ancient secrets, and the shadows danced with an otherworldly rhythm. It didn't take long for us to discover the bones scattered throughout the caverns, human bones, signaling the presence of a sinister force. The creatures we encountered were unlike anything I had ever seen. We called them crawlers for their hunched, humanoid form that moved with an unsettling, insect-like grace. Their elongated limbs terminated in razor-sharp claws, and their eyes glowed with an unnatural luminescence. The skin that covered their emaciated bodies was pale and translucent, revealing the intricate network of veins beneath. As we cautiously approached, we realized the crawlers had evolved in isolation, adapting to the harsh conditions of the cave system. Their mouths, filled with rows of sharp teeth, hinted at a taste for human flesh. Fear gripped us as we considered the possibility that these creatures were cannibals, thriving on the bones of those who had ventured into their domain. Attempting to gather more information, we inched closer, only to be met with a sudden, ferocious attack. The crawlers moved with surprising speed and coordination, their claws slashing through the darkness. In the chaos that ensued, a stray bullet ignited a volatile gas pocket, setting the cavern ablaze. For 10 harrowing minutes, the cave became a battleground between human and crawler. The creatures, seemingly unnerved by the fire, retreated into the depths, leaving us battered and injured. The flames illuminated the cave, revealing the grim reality of our surroundings, human bones scattered like macabre decorations. After the flames subsided, the local scientists, undeterred by the danger, began to examine the carcasses left behind by the retreating crawlers. Each creature held a grotesque beauty, a testament to the harsh evolutionary path they had traversed. As we prepared to leave the caves, our team was intercepted by an unexpected presence, the Irish Secret Service. Dressed in dark suits and carrying an air of authority, they sternly warned us against disclosing any details of what we had witnessed. Their message was clear: this was a secret that needed to remain buried. What I'm about to tell you is very true. I've never told anyone in my life until now. This happened to me back in 23 at our family farm in Ohio. It was mid-October, and my dad and I were on our way to the farm to deer hunt, as we always did every weekend. We arrived there around 5:45 in the morning. We sat in the truck, talking and joking about who was going to see more deer or shoot the bigger buck like always. At about 5 till 6, we got out and got our gear on and headed towards the woods. As we entered the woods on the left side of the cow pasture, I noticed an odd eerie feeling, which was normal for me, I guess, as the woods always gave me that feeling, even since I was young. My dad walked me to my tree stand and made sure I got in and situated safely. He told me good luck as always, and I said I'll be back at noon. He then proceeded to his stand. A few minutes after he left, this overwhelmingly tingle came over my body, as if someone or something was watching me. At this time, it was still dark. I began to look around the surrounding timber, trying to make out silhouettes but couldn't. I was beginning to become very overwhelmed with that feeling of eyes upon me. A few minutes had passed since I scanned the timber last. I tried once more since my eyes had now adjusted to the dark better. I looked off to my left and then slowly towards my right again, and nothing. I tried to calm myself and mentally say, "It's nothing. You're fine." All of a sudden, I hear a crashing coming towards me from the left, and my heart sinks as I look. It was a few deer running for what appeared to be their life. They blew through the woods and didn't stop. I could hear them still crashing through the timber. At this time, I was only able to make out silhouettes and outlines of trees. I thought that it was odd, but maybe a coyote or something was after them, and I just shrugged it off. Maybe 5 minutes later, it was still dark but dawn approaching. I then feel the hair on my neck stand up, and that eerie feeling comes back upon me. My heart starts to pound profusely. I hear the crunching of leaves and loud snaps of sticks from the direction the deer had run from, which was the neighbor's property on the left side of our woods. It is 100 plus acres of switchgrass and hundreds of acres of other woods. I look up and see what appears to be my dad walking towards me. Daylight is starting to break now, but it's still pretty dark inside the woods. I wait to what I thought was my dad, and it got about 20 yards plus from me. I quietly say, "What are you doing, Dad?" No response. It just continues to walk towards me. So I say a little louder, "Dad, what are you doing?" And still no response. I began to say, "Hey, you know you're trespassing, buddy," but no response. As it got to the tree that my deer stand was in, I noticed that it was not my dad. I began to freak out. I look across the woods to where my dad's tree stand is, and I see his flashlight climbing up a tree. That's when I looked down and saw this thing standing directly underneath my tree stand, looking dead at me. Whatever it was tall enough to reach up and grab my foot with ease. Mind you, I'm 14 feet up this tree. I began to start crying from fear, and my heart was beating so hard and fast, I thought it was going to explode out of my chest. I let out a wimpy, muffled, yell. It just grumbled at me and walked off following the direction of the deer. I watched it disappear into the timber as the darkness was fading fast. Once it was gone, I was overwhelmed with this god-awful smell of body odor mixed with the smell of death, old hound dog, and trash. As the morning went on, the woods were dead silent. Not a bird, squirrel, or deer, nothing. I've never heard the woods that quiet before, ever. Once I calmed down enough to climb down and out of my tree, I ran to my dad and told him I wanted to leave him now, but I didn't feel well, so we left. This happened to me when I was 15. I'm now 29, and I've never hunted our woods in the morning again. I will not be there after dark to this day, and I still have not told anyone until now. I do not smoke, drink, or do drugs. Never have. I promise this is 100% true story and the scariest thing that's ever happened. Born and raised in Oklahoma and have been my whole life. I grew up fishing, tracking, everything you could possibly want to do in the outdoors. My entire family is that way, and I raised my boys the same way. However, I've never been one to believe in all of the silly fairy tales that people spew about Bigfoot and other silly animals that live in the woods and apparently exist. Until one day, me and my oldest son had a strange encounter when we went to go fishing at one of our local creeks we like to frequent. It was a beautiful sunny day in June of 99, and we thought we'd make a good day of it and go pack some food and have a good day fishing, just father and son. Well, we've got everything loaded up and got the tackle box and our poles and headed out. The creek we were heading to is roughly about 20 minutes away from our house, since we kind of live a little bit out of town. When we got to the creek, all seemed well and lively. The water was rushing pretty quickly, even though it was June. The stream was still ice cold, which is always great to stick your feet into just after getting there and you've been walking around, and it's very hot. This particular spot, it's a pretty typical creek bed, but there is a lot of bushes and brush scattered throughout the area. And I'm talking tall bushes that are like 6 to 7 feet tall. It's definitely not clear and open, so you have to kind of find a nice spot along the riverbanks to fish. We found a nice spot to sit down, and we began to unpack our food and get our tackle box and poles all set up. As I'm sitting there helping my son, I notice my son's attention is not on what we're doing. Instead, he's looking over my shoulder with the most confused look on his face, seeming quite distracted. I thought that was pretty odd since my son's favorite pastime is fishing, and I never lose his attention to anything other than fishing. So I turned my head to see what he's looking at, and I think maybe it's a bear or something, but I was wrong. About 30 feet away, behind a 5-foot bush, was this face peeking out, staring at both of us. It looked humanoid, but also had a very North Owl-like quality to it, with hair all around it and more of a cone-shaped kind of head. The cheeks were bare, and the skin looked very leathery, but there was hair all over the face. The eyes were dark, and I couldn't really make out any pupils. Its nose was like ours, not like a gorilla's. I wasn't really sure what it was at first. Once it realized both of us were staring at it, it immediately popped its head back down. My son starts freaking out, wondering what on earth that was looking at us. I was starting to freak out a little bit too, but I just wanted to chalk it up to somebody playing a cheap trick on us with some sort of stupid Hollywood mask. So I yelled out, "Whoever you are, leave now. I have a gun on me." And this thing, faster than I could have ever imagined, bolted out from behind this bush into the wood line, about another 70 to 80 feet. Now, I want to remind you that this is total daylight, so we were able to see everything pretty clearly. This thing was about 5 to 6 feet tall and pretty hairy. I mean, I'm talking full black hair. If a black bear could be walking on two legs and running like a human could, you would pretty much be nailing it, except for the cone-shaped head and no neck. It didn't really look like it had much of a neck, and its arms swayed back and forth. It was also very barrel-bodied and built like a tank. It never looked back as it ran, and I've never seen anyone or anything run so fast. As soon as it hit the woodline, it disappeared. My son, for the rest of the day, kept wondering what on earth it was that we saw. I told him that we would talk about it later and to try and just enjoy our fishing trip. Well, we didn't really fish there for long before he was just too uncomfortable, so we left to go back home. On the drive home, my son was in a stupor and he asked me, "Did we see a Bigfoot?" I told him that Bigfoot isn't real and it must have just been somebody trying to pull a prank on us. Looking back, I was really naive to think that. I've told this encounter to a couple of friends of mine who are Bigfoot enthusiasts, and they informed me that what I probably experienced was a juvenile Bigfoot, since it appeared a lot more curious and playful than it ever did territorial or aggressive in any way. I'm not really freaked out now, but whatever it was very strange. I felt weird. For me and my son seeing when it was. Now that my son is all grown up, he still goes fishing in that exact same spot. But we've never really talked about the experience since, and I've never brought it back up. For the past several years, I have tried to find any facts about what I saw and what I believe took place. I have contacted numerous Bigfoot researchers and investigators nationwide, but I have never received any information that satisfied my concern. I was camping and hiking through Colorado in the spring of 2018. One morning, I woke up to smashing sounds that got closer to my camp. I thought it was a mad bear and got my hiking stick out. I knew I couldn't hurt a charging bear, but maybe I could distract it somehow with a shred of hope and a poke from my stick. The sounds got right up on my camp, but took a turn. It stopped and I peeked out of my tent. I then saw this big, dark, hairy shape through the trees. It looked like it was carrying something that was wearing red cloth. Then it turned and ran up this steep hill. I heard it crashing through trees and it sounded like a tank going 60 miles per hour up a steep slope. I wish that I had got a better look, but it all happened so fast. I got the feeling that I needed to get out of there right then. I saw something that maybe I shouldn't have. I packed up camp and hiked out of there. I'm not sure, but since then I have the feeling that the red cloth may have been a t-shirt. I think that the big thing was carrying an abducted child because people, especially kids, had been reported back then missing. Nobody knows what happened to them. I've been desperate for answers. I did all I could to report what I saw, but law enforcement and state wildlife officials simply ignored me. I know what I saw, and I believe that a child was taken by the creature. This occurred at Guanella Pass, which is located inside the Pike National Forest, Colorado. The anticipation for our family camping trip in the Appalachians had been building for weeks. My parents, my younger sister, and I were all packed up and ready to embark on a memorable adventure in our RV. We set off, eager to explore the remote beauty of nature and create lasting memories together. After hours of driving, we found a secluded spot surrounded by dense forests. It was the perfect setting to connect with nature and escape the hustle and bustle of everyday life. We set up our camp, enjoyed a delicious dinner, and gathered around the campfire to share stories. As night fell, a tranquil silence enveloped our surroundings. The stars shone brightly overhead, and the rustling of leaves and the gentle breeze provided a soothing lullaby. However, as the night wore on, we began to hear strange, unfamiliar noises echoing through the forest. At first, we dismissed them as the typical sounds of wildlife, but there was an eerie quality to them that sent shivers down our spines. Curiosity got the better of us the next morning, and we decided to investigate the source of those mysterious sounds. Stepping outside our RV, we were greeted by an unusual sight. Large footprints encircled our camping spot. The prints were massive, reminiscent of those attributed to creature like Bigfoot. Intrigued and slightly apprehensive, we followed the trail of footprints that led deeper into the woods. As we ventured further, the footprints seemed to appear out of nowhere and vanish just as mysteriously. The atmosphere became charged with an otherworldly energy, heightening our senses and intensifying the mystery. Our journey led us to the entrance of a cave, and as we cautiously approached, a massive figure emerged from the shadows. It was a creature of legendary proportions, resembling the elusive Sasquatch. Towering over us, its fur was a mix of earthy browns and grays, blending seamlessly with the surrounding forest. Its eyes, deep and knowing, held a certain wisdom that seemed to transcend our understanding. The creature appeared to be observing us as we fumbled to capture the moment on camera. However, as we raised our devices, it let out a low, guttural growl, signaling its discomfort. In an instant, it retreated into the dense foliage, disappearing like a phantom into the depths of the forest. Stunned and exhilarated, we returned to our RV, animatedly discussing the surreal encounter we had just experienced. We examined the photographs we managed to capture, but the elusive Sasquatch remained a blurry figure in the background. The rocky dirt road crunched beneath the truck's tires as I drove through the dense forest, careful of the branches which overhung the path and scraped the windows. My eyes were darting around constantly, keeping an eye out for wildlife and fallen trees. This far into Yosemite, there weren't many people, but as a park ranger, it's my job to patrol these woods and protect visitors from nature as much as possible. Not to mention protecting nature from them, especially this time of year when unlicensed hunters are out and clueless campers and amateur hikers are roaming alongside them. It's often a lethal combination. Just as I was thinking about amateur hikers, I saw a woman standing a little ways off the road. She was in a rock-strewn field on a slope leading up a hill to my left. Despite the fact that we were out in the middle of nowhere, she had no hiking equipment, no backpack, nothing. As I got closer, she saw me, but began to walk away, marching up the rocky slope. This far out in the middle of nowhere, I expected a wave or a hello at the very least. Most of the time, if you're out here on foot, you don't see anyone for days at a time. "Hey, miss, are you okay?" I yelled, worrying she was suffering from exposure. Sometimes people get lost out in these woods, and by the time you reach them, they're nearly catatonic. I'd seen it before, men and women with a thousand-yard stare. She didn't respond, instead continuing up the slope until she reached the top. Then she disappeared into the tree line. The woman's face looked familiar, I realized, and pulled up a file on my laptop. It showed people who had been reported missing in the area. It took a minute, but eventually I found the woman's file. There were photos that matched the person I had just seen exactly, except her clothes were different, and the woman had been reported missing 8 months prior. She should look considerably worse, I thought, especially considering her lack of supplies. These woods were harsh, brutal wilderness.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Even experienced hikers and hunters had become lost in the area and had died from the elements. I quickly called into the station and told them what I'd seen, then grabbed my backpack and took off on foot, running up the rocky slope towards the trees. If she continued at the pace she'd been moving, I had a good chance of catching up with her. At the top of the hill, I managed to find her tracks. I followed them into the woods, tracing a path through the trees. For almost an hour, I followed her path through the forest, becoming more and more convinced that I should have caught up with her. I realized something was wrong, and I had lost the trail. It was like the woman had vanished. I kept moving forward, thinking maybe I would pick up her tracks again. This happened sometimes, I knew as an amateur hunter. The quarry's path would disappear occasionally only to reappear a little ways away. So I kept going, pushing aside branches and shrubbery, and moving ever deeper into the overgrown wilderness. And that was when I saw it. "What the hell is that?" I muttered to myself, not believing my own eyes as the object came into focus up ahead. It was a staircase that appeared out of the overgrowth, looking otherworldly in this environment. "What is this doing out here?" I realized I was talking to myself, but couldn't help it. I also couldn't seem to help the fact that I was steadily moving towards the staircase in the forest, despite a growing feeling which told me I should stay away. The closer I got to the stairs, the more I felt as if someone was watching me. The hair stood up on the back of my neck and goosebumps rose on my arms as I approached, moving closer and closer until I was standing right in front of it. Strangely enough, the stairs looked relatively new. They appeared unassuming and normal in every way, except for their odd location. The wood was not weather-worn or moss-coated. It was clean, and I would guess it had been built in the last 10 or 20 years. But the staircase ended after exactly 13 steps. It was a staircase leading to nowhere. It was an eerie sight out here, since I was well aware of how difficult it would be to construct them in the middle of nowhere. What was the purpose of them? Who would build them and why? Even as I was asking myself these questions, I found myself walking up the stairs. It was like I was in a dream, as my feet seemed to move involuntarily upwards. But the feeling of eyes on the back of my neck grew worse and worse with each step. And I could feel the weight of someone else's movements on the stairs with me. I was sure of it. Eventually, the paranoia became so overpowering that I had to turn around, feeling as if someone or something was definitely right behind me on the stairs. But when I turned around, there was no one there. Suddenly, I felt terrified as hell and started wondering what I'd been thinking climbing those stairs in the woods that shouldn't have been there. I started going back down, still feeling eyes watching me from all around. The trees nearby rustled with movement, and I saw a vague shape moving behind them. Hurrying the remainder of the way down the steps, I called out to the figure, thinking it was the woman I had seen earlier. "Miss, if that you? I've been looking all over for you. Are you all right?" I asked the dark figure in the shadows, but it didn't move or respond. Instead, it just continued to watch me. "Okay, lady, I can't help you if you don't." Suddenly, it occurred to me that the figure in the shadows was too tall to be the woman I'd seen earlier. It looked to be a person at least 6.5 feet tall, maybe more, and they were ducking behind a tree so as not to be seen clearly. The thing stood up even taller, and I realized it had been crouched down. It was enormous, its form impossible to examine in the low light, but it was definitely watching me. And there were more of them, I realized, my heart pounding faster and harder until it felt like it was going to beat right out of my chest. I spun around, looking at the forest all around me, seeing shadow shapes everywhere. For a few long moments I was frozen, unable to move or breathe or think, and then I saw a long-fingered hand pushing back the foliage, preparing to emerge. That woke me up from my trance. Whatever these things were, I could tell they were not benevolent or good. They were creatures of darkness, luring people to them so they could feast on their minds. I tore my gaze away from it and began to run. Racing through the trees, I could sense them following after me. A platoon of lanky, impossibly tall creatures with long fingers. Were they the ones who had created the staircase out here? Were they aliens? Sasquatches? I had no idea. But every time I looked back over my shoulder, I saw them gaining on me, vague shapes, moving so quickly they blurred and were tough to make out. That was when I realized it was getting dark outside. But that didn't make sense, since when I'd set out it had been the early morning hours around 8 a.m. Checking my watch, I saw it was no longer functioning, nor were my cell phone or GPS devices working. With no other choice but to keep running, that's what I did. Bolting through the forest until eventually I found the rocky slope beside the dirt road where I'd left my truck. I ran right over the edge of the cliff, so terrified and frantic that I didn't see it coming. The things were just behind me by that point, and I was almost ready to resign myself to dying trying to fight them. Instead, I went tumbling down the rock-strewn hillside, somersaulting and hitting my elbows, knees, shoulders, and skull off the boulders and stones. A mini avalanche ensued and I went down hard, face-splinting as my feet were unable to keep up with my momentum. A sharp pain struck me in the forehead, and I tasted blood in my mouth as my vision went dark. I laid in a pile of rubble and went to sleep. When I woke up, there was a park ranger standing over me, asking if I was okay. The weird thing was, I didn't recognize him. "You look familiar," he said, furrowing his brow. "What's your name?" I told him, and his jaw dropped, his face turning a shade paler. "It can't be. Everybody thought you were dead." Looking around, I saw my truck was nowhere to be seen. It was a different season as well. The trees were turning slightly yellow when I went into the forest, an early signal of autumn. But now they were bright green as they would be at the beginning of summer. "What's the date today?" I asked him. He told me, but I didn't believe him at first. "You're making that up," I said, shaking my head. "I just went into the woods for a couple hours to find the woman." That's when I remembered her again. "Did anyone find her, or is she still missing?" "Nobody's seen any woman, just like nobody has seen you for 8 months." His eyes were suspicious, and I realized he thought I was losing my mind, or had lost it out in the forest. I shook my head and looked back into the woods. "We gotta get a search party out there." "Didn't you hear me? If you saw a woman when you went out there, she's long gone by now." My eyes stayed fixed firmly on the trees in the distance. "Not for her. There's something else out there." I couldn't resist the pull of it and started wandering back up the rocky slope. It felt like I was an iron filing and that staircase was a strong magnet, drawing me towards it. "We all need to go to it." The other ranger grabbed my arm and pulled me back, restraining me, yelling at me to calm down. They took 5 more men to get me to stop and to get me into the hospital. They keep telling me what I saw wasn't real, that I was suffering from exposure, that I got lost in the forest and hit my head, suffering a concussion. The doctors say I hallucinated all of it, but I know what I saw, and as soon as I get out of this hospital, I'm going back. I work at a summer camp as a lifeguard/counselor, and a couple years ago we had a pretty creepy incident. I was 17 at the time, and it was my first year on camp staff. The staff is like a big family, and some of us like to hang out at night until completely insane hours like 2 a.m. when we have to be up at 5:45 for work. Anyways, one night one of our friends comes up to my group of friends and says that she thinks another counselor is following her around. It was 11 p.m. at that point, so there was no way he just happened to keep bumping into her. We started talking, and apparently this 15-year-old kid had been doing this for a few weeks, leading up to him kissing her out of the blue. Of course, we thought that was creepy as F, and we told her to go to her tent. She says she can't. This kid had been talking to her through the tent walls for a few nights, and she was scared he would try more. We agreed to stay with her until he went to bed at that point. After a few minutes of talking, the counselor in question walked up to our table and sat down. We were under a tent by the pool, but everything was dark except a light in the tent, so no one saw him coming. He started chatting with us like nothing was wrong, and after a few minutes we decided to go on a hike to try and lose him. So it was almost midnight, and we were on a trail that took us to a clearing where we were hoping to hide. We made it to the clearing and sat down, and not 15 minutes later he walked up to us again. It was pitch black outside, and we had no flashlight on. Creepy. Turns out, he was using the Snapchat map to find us. It gave him a good enough location to go to, and then he just had to look for us. We ended up turning on ghost mode, and he suddenly stopped showing up. We called him in to our boss, and they saw him walking around and questioned him. The worst part was what they found on him. He had a 6-inch knife, rope, and an empty 2-liter Nalgene bottle that smelled like someone had tried to get rid of the smell of alcohol. The night was as dark as ink, and I maneuvered my rig down a desolate stretch of highway that seemed to stretch into eternity. I'd heard stories of strange occurrences on this road, stories whispered among truckers at truck stops and gas stations. But I had always dismissed them as products of overactive imaginations and the weariness that comes with long hours on the road. Tonight, however, I would become a believer. The road lay empty, devoid of any other vehicles, and the only sound was the low rumble of my engine. The darkness pressed in from all sides, occasionally broken by the dim glow of my headlights. I had seen my fair share of eerie things during my years on the road, but this night promised to be different. As I rounded a bend, the beams of my headlights caught something unusual up ahead. I squinted at the figure in the road, attempting to decipher what I was seeing. It was no ordinary creature. This was the stuff of nightmares. The beast stood tall, on 2 legs like a man, yet its body was concealed beneath matted cream, red, and brown fur. Its face was a grotesque blend of human and wolf-like features. High cheekbones framed eyes that glowed with an eerie yellow light. Its snout protruded from a feral mouth, spittle dripping from its lips. My heart pounded in my chest as I realized I was staring at the dogman. Time seemed to slow as the creature's gaze locked onto mine. Panic surged through me, but something held me in place, preventing me from tearing my gaze away from its malevolent stare. Fear washed over me in cold waves as I felt the truck's tires grind to a halt. The dogman's lips curled into a snarl, unveiling rows of sharp, gleaming teeth. It unleashed a bone-chilling roar that reverberated through the night, causing my eardrums to throb. Finally, my instincts kicked in, and I slammed my foot on the gas pedal, propelling the massive vehicle forward. The creature, seemingly startled by my determination, leaped backward, retreating into the darkness of the surrounding woods. My heart raced as I sped away from the nightmarish encounter, the memory of those yellow eyes etched into my mind. Hours later, I pulled into a rundown gas station, my hands still trembling on the wheel. I recounted my harrowing encounter to the skeptical attendant, who dismissed my story as the ramblings of a sleep-deprived trucker. But I knew what I had seen, and I knew I would never forget it. This past summer, my girlfriend and I thru-hiked the Colorado Trail. One morning, we're breaking down our camp and the sun had just come up, so it was still pretty early in the morning, maybe around 6:30 a.m. We were camped in this long, straight valley in the Lost Creek Wilderness, for any fellow CT thru-hikers. As we're packing up and getting ready to start hiking again, we can hear this crazy screaming sound over and over again for maybe a couple minutes. It sounded pretty far off, but was echoing through the valley. We both sat there and listened to it, trying to figure out what it was. I have spent a lot of time in the Colorado Mountains and have never heard this sound before. At first, we thought it may have been a person, but we were at a fairly remote section of the trail. Once we finished, we did some research and we think it may have been a mountain lion, as they sometimes will make a similar screaming noise, but who knows? We were both a little nervous to start hiking again after that. I've been in the military since I was 18. I'm now 67 years old. In my younger days, I was blessed to have been from a family of hunters and outdoorsmen, so I've always been around guns, dogs, and hunting. In the early 1960s, when I was still a kid, we lived outside a small town on a large farm. This had been in our family for over 100 years. It was 1968. We were working on our dogs. We would take about 15 or so of them out on a run for breeding purposes. There was myself and another fella who'd been together for about 5 years or more. We knew each other real well, the way I figure it. The only reason the dogs saw what they did is that we were upwind of whatever it was, and the dogs somehow smelled it and went and stood their ground, looking, standing their ground until this thing came upon us. It must have been about 5:30 in the evening, I reckon. The sun was going down, but we had plenty enough light to see what we were doing. We'd run these critters pretty hard. We were out in the country where there was nobody around for miles except an occasional farmer. We didn't see anybody else that day. It started raining about noon and continued to rain into the afternoon, a real cold, windy December type of day. Not until about 5:30 or 6 when it quit raining. We were getting ready to turn the dogs back in when we started hearing them bark and growl. They took off out into the woods. They went in a big circle, came running back in our direction, which was now upwind of whatever it was. To scare them, they ran right by us and headed home to the fields. I've never seen them run the way they did that day. They were scared and running for all they were worth. We both got a good look at the thing when it stepped out of the woods, not more than 30 to 40 feet away from us. At first, we saw just its head sticking above the grass in a small clearing. We watched it for a minute or so, and then all of a sudden, it rose up from where it was standing and began running on two legs. It ran right into the field about 50 feet from us. It had black fur that was very coarse looking, even for this time of year. It was kind of like fur on a bear, but it stood up on two legs just like you and I do. The face was very wide, with eyes that were kind of glowing and pulsating white. It had very long arms, not quite as long as an ape's, but they hung right by its chest, and the hands only had three fingers, no thumbs that I could see. The fingers resembled more like claws. We were both looking at this thing with our mouths hanging open. It took off running, headed right for the edge of a big 10-foot-deep cut bank along the road. When it got to that cut bank, it never hesitated once. It ran right off the side of that bluff, about 6 feet or so, then just disappeared. The head and eyes were what we saw first. We knew we were looking at something real, but the rest of the body took some time to develop. It was down in a low spot when it stood up and started running. That's when we realized exactly what it was. There wasn't any doubt in our minds. Although I don't know what it was, whether it was an ape or something, I've heard stories about werewolves before, but that thing wasn't a wolf. It didn't walk like one, nor did it look like one to me either. Whatever that was scared the heck out of us. It didn't even make a sound, never growled or spoke or said one word. It didn't even appear to try and want to harm us. It just ran off. Like I said, right up the side of that bank, maybe 15 feet high, without so much as looking back once at us. The only reason I'm telling you the story is that whatever it was came right back down off that bluff and got one of them hounds. The rest of them hounds caught up with it about 2 miles. We didn't find the dog until the next day, about 10 miles south of where we stood and watched it run off. It was a good hunting dog, one of the best I'd ever had. And here is where an exceptionally cold winter night of negative 25 degrees below zero, maybe worse than that. The weather had broken, and we were hunting raccoons in the woods when we ventured onto some open ground and ran into whatever it was that had the hound. The dog was dragging itself, its back broken in three places, and didn't have a mark on it except where its back was broke. The tracks left by whatever got him were unlike anything I've ever seen before. They weren't human tracks. They were too big for that. But they weren't no animal tracks either. They were bigger. That's about all I can tell you. I don't know what it was we saw that day, but whatever it was really scared us and ran off with the fine hound dog. Something I've never seen before or since. I just wanted to tell you all that before something bad happened to you out there in the woods. I know most of what I've seen over the years has been pretty real, but with some of them, when the weather's bad or when it's dark outside, I can't say for sure really that they're there unless I see them again. We went backpacking in the Eastern Sierra a couple years ago. A heavy traffic trail where hikers take horses in. As we were approaching 7 p.m.-ish, where we were going to sleep for the night, we passed a couple that said watch out for the horse. We went a few minutes ahead, and on the trail there was a dead pack horse. Sun was pretty set at this point, and we had about a mile or two to go before we were going to stop. This massive horse lying across the trail was kind of disturbing and sad. As we set up camp 2 miles down the valley, all I could think about was some scavenger feeding on that horse that night. Never got the story and what happened as we came out a few miles ahead of where we went in. Trailhead was Little Lakes Valley Trailhead outside Tom's place in the Easter Sierra. Went backpacking or fishing overnight with a female friend. We're both fairly experienced backpackers, and it was a spot we'd been to many times before on the Salmon River in upstate New York. We also brought her collie along with us. We parked in the same spot we always did at the end of a dirt road, and hiked in about 45 minutes to our favorite fishing spot. Had a great day knocking back beers, swimming and pretending to fish. We put out the fire and went to bed around midnight. We were awakened about 3 a.m. by the creepiest noise I've ever heard in my life. It honestly sounded like a demon, groaning and growling away maybe 5 feet back from the edge of our sight in some thick brush. Her usually fearless dog was cowering in the corner of our tent. I was kind of spooked, but I calmed myself down, ran through the local wildlife in my head, and decided it was probably a bobcat. For anyone who doesn't know, bobcats aren't very dangerous, but they can make some supremely freaky noises. Their territorial growls often sound like human screams or crying babies. I grabbed my mess kit, the BSO style one where one half is a frying pan and the other is a bowl, and head outside to try to scare it off. I repeatedly bash the two halves together as loudly as I can to frighten it, which has always worked in the past. I've even run off black bears a few times with this method. The thing did not move. If anything, it got closer. I try not to attribute human emotions to wild animals, but the growling sounded angrier. At this point, my friend and the dog are out of the tent, and Mr. Fearless is trying with all his might to drag her back down the trail toward the road. I shine my light into the dark, and it reflects off of a pair of eyes that I swear looked human, peering out from a bush at about my chest height. Maybe it was crouching, maybe it was standing on something, but it damn sure wasn't a bobcat. I'm not proud of this, but we fled in disarray, slept in the car in a McDonald's parking lot, and went back to get our stuff in daylight. Nothing was taken, but the site was tossed, even the tent interior. The one sensible thing I had managed to do during our retreat was rezip the tent, but it was open. Not clawed open, unzipped. Still have no idea what the hell that thing was. Haven't camped there since. Edit bonus. My high school had a pretty huge wooded area behind it that my fellow social outcasts and I used to play manhunt in after class. One day we came across a homeless guy who had died in his sleeping bag. Fortunately, he had passed pretty recently, so nothing too big had gotten to him yet, but still pretty gross.